and Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids, wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Our Friendly World with Fawn and Matt. This is Matt. Hey, Fawn, how you doing? Ooh, we're quiet. Okay, so today we're talking about expecting good fortune. It's a very important thing. And I have to confess something to my audience. There have been moments where I have not expected good fortune. And guess what? What we focus on is what happens. And it's a really hard thing. In 1965, psychologists performed an experiment and begins Pygmalion, something, 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 something. But psychologists being psychologists in 1965 took over an elementary school and had all the little teachers do their biddings. And this test was actually not a terrible one, thank God, because this was the era of Stanford prison experiments, etc. But what they did is they told teachers that some of their students were absolutely spectacular. They were just late bloomers, but they were going to bloom right now. So they had to be ready for it, and they had to pay attention to it. Interesting experiment. What they found was, or the published results that everybody knows, is that the students who had these now arbitrarily set high expectations met them. What's that about? Moreover, well, what's interesting is when you actually dive into it, you actually find out, no, that isn't exactly what happened. This was an elementary school. As it turned out, first and second graders saw the most marked improvements, and actually it was didn't make a difference in fifth and sixth grade. Why is that? What's going on? So if you want to equate, and they equated it to IQ points, but if you want to equate like doing better in school with good fortune, which I think most people would, what happened? And I think what happens is back in first and second grade, we're very focused on, we don't have as much of a sense of ourselves. And we're also parachuting into a new experience. And all of a sudden, like our whole lives can change. We can be anybody we want. And I experienced this later in college. It seemed like, and I saw it happen, I didn't go to anybody in college who I was in high school with, but I could see it in other people that they would kind of reinvent themselves. And I saw that in high school too. I saw that between like middle school and high school. People would reinvent themselves because they felt afforded the opportunity. And so they had an opportunity to change the way others perceive them by changing. And this is, to me, this is the key. And to me, this is my thought. But changing the way they perceive themselves. So all of a sudden, what was the thing, things that they would change inside of themselves, people could and would react to because they could smell these changes on others. They could smell the changes on the people. Now going back to this whole Pygmalion thing, first and second grade, teachers play an incredibly important role in everything. And I think at that age, typically more important than their peers. So the teachers having those expectations, it's like the students could smell them. And the students would then try and perform perhaps to please. So expecting good fortune, how do we do anything with that? You know, where's that even going? Well, there were studies, and there's always studies, God help me, more studies, right? But they gave people questions, and they asked them about negatives and how negative certain things would be. So things like, if you have, how terrible would it be if you had insomnia every day? And there's a certain type of people who are less likely to expect good fortune, and they would say, oh, well, that's absolutely terrible. Or deciding you chose the wrong career. Oh, my God, that is terrible. That is practically the end of the world. Or what are the chances in the future that you will have an alcohol problem? You know, And people were like, oh, that would be terrible. And yet, some people were. And these would be people who aren't expecting good fortune. These are people who don't understand that as we go through life, we change, we grow, we evolve. Because if I have insomnia every day, I know, theoretically, I can just work out like a fiend or meditate or whatever it is, and I'll just, boom, I'll just go to sleep. That's it. You know, or maybe I'll stay up later than normal. Just my whole brain functions will just shut down. I will just be so tired. Or, you know, if I chose the wrong career, pick a new one. And it sounds super easy and super whatever, but I've been in similar situations. And when I look back, it was never easy, but it was always a possibility. It was always a choice. And if I'm expecting good things to come out of that, but where and how? And it's the where's and how's. And I'm still right here, but yeah. I was hoping to bounce that idea off of her, but where I come to think about it is as far as in sports, there's this whole sense of positive visualization. And we can point to that as being like, well, this obviously works because, you know, sports teams do it, and successful sports teams seem to do it better than unsuccessful sports teams. So it starts to take us away from almost like getting out of our own way and trying to say, well, this feels like pseudoscience. This doesn't feel real. This doesn't feel. But honestly, sometimes I'll rehearse, and, you know, they say if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if I'm giving a talk, I plan it. If I'm interviewing for a job, I plan it. If I am building something from a computer programming frame of mind, I build it in my head first, and then I start building it, and maybe it's crap, and I throw it out, and I try it again, and maybe it's crap again, and I throw it out, and I try again. I actually did this recently, so this is not so far-fetched. And if we take it down to more of an interpersonal level, person to person. Let's pretend. Close your eyes and let's pretend. Let's pretend you were going out on a blind date. I know. I'm married. I've been married forever. And let's pretend that you didn't do what all my friends seem to do. Oh my God. Which was like, oh, why is that person looking for a date? Are they blah, 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 blah. But let's pretend you were told, oh my God, yeah, you're going to love this person. They're friendly. They're nice. They're outgoing. They're okay. So about, I think it's five things are going to happen as soon as you like sit down across from this person. Hopefully you're going to be relaxed, but you're expecting good things to happen because you've already gotten half of a heads up by hearing this person is nice, by hearing this person is outgoing. So literally the first thing you're going to do is you're going to relax. Second thing you're going to do is you're probably going to smile. The instant you smile, guess what? Regardless of what the other person was doing, hopefully the other person was smiling. But if they weren't, odds are they're going to start smiling too. And as soon as you see them smiling, all of a sudden you're going to get this weird confirmation. You're going to get a confirmation that, hey, guess what? This person is nice and friendly. And then you're going to launch into, hey, so, da-da-da-da-da-da. But you've already now had these like little tiny little, in computer programming, we call them microtransactions because we're weird that way because we feel the need to define. But you're going to discover that all of a sudden, maybe you're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if you're told maybe this person isn't so nice, conversation may be difficult because of this reason or that reason or the other reason, you're going to have trepidations walking in. You're going to have trepidation. You're going to be maybe anxious. You're going to be nervous. They're going to react to that. It's going to be this weird other kind of much more negative conversation because you're kind of expecting things to maybe go off the rails as opposed to just focusing on, which is something else I'm so keen on, is if there's a pothole in the road, try and see past it. Because if you don't, you're going to hit it. And I swear, I went for a drive yesterday. I think I hit every single pothole because I was so focused on them. So if you don't expect good fortune, what can you do about it? And for me, that was the real trick. Once upon a time, happy-go-lucky Matt, and then not so happy-go-lucky Matt. I don't want to talk about how that happened, but how do I get back? How do you get something back? And obviously, I was desperate to reverse my fortune, right? As I think most people would be, right? Well, things are going great. Things are going great. But if things aren't going great, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And, you know, it's there's a million superstitions behind it. But honestly, some of it was getting out of my own way. And I was so desperate to avoid the bad that I focused on it as my pothole. And I couldn't escape it. Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. I had to get out of my own way. And for me, getting out of my own way means stop. Just stop. Breathe. Just breathe. Do something different. Even if it's walking north instead of south. And that at least starts to disconnect me from this connection I have or I was having with bad fortune. And once I was able to just pry into that just a little, then I could take a look at the things I had done that were successful. Because even if you're having a bad roll right now, at some point it wasn't all bad. And being able to focus on those days. And then out of the blue, I had the world's smallest success. But then I focused on that. I didn't focus on all the other BS that was happening all around. I just focused on that one tiny little success. And then it started to build and build and build and build and build. Until eventually, I naturally just expected good things to happen.
Can you share what that one little thing was?
So this is back when we lost our house. We were homeless. I was desperately trying to find a job. And I was thinking, uh-oh, is this how it's going to be? And I got a call back. That was it. And then I sucked. But I got a call back. And that, to me, was the key. Is I focused only on the positive aspect of it. I focused not at all on any of the negative aspects around it, which was, and I know a lot of people are feeling this now because I know a lot of people are feeling this now, but they feel like you lose your job, you start sending resumes out into the void, and you never hear back. Or if you do hear back, you get an interview. You got an interview after you sent out 1,000 resumes. And I hear these stories, right?
Or you go on a million auditions.
Or you go on a million auditions. But to me, it's about focusing on the success. And being a goldfish, to quote Ted Lasso, about all the bad stuff. But you're an elephant when it comes to the good stuff. And it's about celebrating the win, even if it's just a little yippee to yourself. And from there we build. That's what I've got today.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, everybody. Like I said, focus on a win. You know what? If you want a cheap, easy win, send us an email. We will email you back. Okay? Praying for you. Be well.